Let us pray. Our Father and our God, as we lift our hearts to Thee as a family of Thy children, we pray that Thou wilt forgive our sins and enable us by Thy Spirit to know and to do Thy will. As we seek for truth, our Father, give us reverence to seek humbly, and may the search lead us toward Thee, from whom all thoughts of truth and peace proceed. Deliver us, we pray, from all ungenerous judgments, and create in us new understandings of justice and love, that we may be clean instruments and open channels of Thy grace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. 62. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, and herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth. O Lord, how manifold are Thy works! In wisdom hast Thou made them all. The earth is full of Thy riches. It is He that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. A few years ago, I heard a scholar talk about the second semester as a period of pedestrian days. He quoted the statement, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." He said, in the early autumn, we mount up with wings as eagles, as we see visions of truth before us. And throughout the first semester, we can run and not be weary. But he added, the best we can do for the second semester is walk and not faint. I trust that we shall have a daily renewal of vision, of truth, and goodness, and that we shall not only be able to walk and not faint, but at least upon occasion we shall run and not be weary. In fact, we have to run in our time in the pursuit of truth and in the tasks committed to our hands. I want to draw attention in these moments of worship to the subject affliction and comfort. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. We do not have, so far as I know, an adequate philosophical explanation of human suffering. But you and I know two things about suffering. We know that God is with us in the suffering. And we know that God comforts his people in every affliction. This awareness of the presence of God in a time of affliction and loss is discoverable in the writings of very many honest and able men. A few years ago, Dr. Roland Bainton of Yale University wrote the biography of his father, Herbert Bainton, and gave the book the title Pilgrim Pastor. If you haven't looked at it, I think it is worth a few moments of your time. His father was pastor of three small churches, one in Vancouver, one in the state of Washington, one in Connecticut. Each of these three churches had fewer than 200 people in membership. Roland Bainton was very realistic in writing about his father, whom he greatly admired and loved. And he spoke forthrightly about affliction in the life of his father. He said, "Early, my father realized that he would never play a conspicuous role in the life of the church. Had he been invited to a renowned pulpit, he could not have accepted by reasons of the infirmities of the flesh. He suffered from glandular tuberculosis in college. And though this was surmounted, he continued to be ill. His longevity was due to a rigorous schedule of disciplined living. One thus hampered could not have carried a major assignment. Herbert Bainton knew it and was not cankered by jealousy, tormented by ambition, or racked by frustration. within the framework of frailty, he aimed at excellence. And over comes the idea, God was with him. Within the framework of frailty, he aimed at excellence. And when he preached the ordination sermon upon the occasion of the ordination of Robert Calhoun, some of us know that he knew something about excellence. He knew something about the mind of God. He knew something about the Christian ministry. He knew something about relating comfort to affliction. Jonathan Edwards knew something about the relation of the comfort that comes from God to persons who are afflicted. At least one of the ablest literary critics in American culture in our time has said that the three most important writers in the colonial period of American history were Benjamin Franklin, Jonathan Edwards, and William Byrd II. The William Byrd who was the founder of the city of Richmond and who owned 179,000 acres of land the time of his death, and who left many manuscripts, one of which described the line between Virginia and North Carolina. From the point of view of Christian thought, Jonathan Edwards may be the most creative mind yet produced in American Christianity. As a preacher, as a philosopher, as a theologian, and as a creative writer, he certainly is one of the most influential men in the history of American Christianity. He was pastor at Northampton from 1727 to 1750. He was dismissed as pastor in 1750. It was a great humiliation to him and a heartbreaking experience. He went from the imminence of that pastorate to Stockbridge as a missionary to Indians. And for 7 years, he preached to Indians who apparently had very little appreciation of the refinement of thought which he presented. So far as I have been able to discover, and my reading and my study of this man, of course, are incomplete. So far as I have been able to discover, there was not a trace of cynicism or self-pity in the mind of Jonathan Edwards during those 7 years of ministry to people who were poorly equipped to understand what he said, or to express any appreciation of his thought. He was elected president of what is now Princeton University, and he died within the first year of that assignment. He knew something about the relation of the comfort that comes from God to the affliction which comes to the children of God. And he was a good minister. D.M. Bailey wrote a book entitled God Was in Christ. Published in 1948. D.M. Bailey was a scholar. He had to contend with illness, not mild illness, but severe illness, throughout most of his life. He had a very difficult time finding any church that would invite him to be the pastor. In one of his autobiographical essays I read a few years ago, his statement that there were 17 vacancies where he was on trial, and he was declined 17 times. Reminded me a bit of my seminary experience. I was a man to go out and supply when the pastor was ill. My fellow students knew it was perfectly safe to send me. They would have very little competition with which to contend. And I like to think that they knew I would take no unfair advantage of any man. He was declined 17 times. But he didn't give up. He learned how to preach. And he learned how to teach. He also learned how to write. And through all of that process, he learned how to think. And he knew something about affliction and comfort. The comfort that comes from God. in this book, I think it was his last book, God was in Christ. He quoted some lines from a very simple hymn, and then made what I think was a profound comment upon that. Although the road be rough and steep, I go to the desert to find my sheep. But none of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed. Nor how dark was the night that the Lord passed through ere he found the sheep that was lost. Very simple hymn. And the comment, I say, is profound. This is it. That is the atonement for our sins that takes place in the very heart and life of God, because he is infinite love. And it is out of that costly atonement that forgiveness and release come to us. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction. Let us pray. We are grateful, O God, for the assurance of thy love. And we commit to thy care those who are in any affliction today, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.